This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Late breaking news, Wall Street Journal. Trump to soften the blow of automotive tariffs. And I'm surprised he didn't do this up front, but preventing duties on foreign-made cars from stacking on top of other tariffs he's imposed. Easing some levies on foreign parts used to manufacture cars in the U.S. So this is and this is one of the things I wondered about for beginning. Take Ford, for example. They make their cars here, yeah, by and large. But when you say make the car here, okay, yeah, but across the board, 70% of the parts come from here, but another 30% do not. So they make them here, but not all of it here. And I kind of thought it was a little ridiculous. It was going a little too far to say, oh, come on. You know, ease off of them. They're going to use some foreign parts, not the end of the world. They're still basically making them here. And so why should they be docked for that? And that's why Ford, for instance, is offering employee pricing right now to help with the price of the tariffs. And that's confusing for some people. Like, why would they have to do that? They're made here. They are made here, but not all their parts are. So you are going to still get hit with tariffs, even if you make the cars here. So it was a bit extreme. There has to be some flexibility, you'd think, especially if they're working with you. You know, they're trying to onshore more stuff. So Trump kind of acknowledged that overnight. Now, we don't know. He's going to ease some levies on foreign parts. We don't know. It's not 100%, used to manufacture cars in the U.S., and it's going to be for some manufacturers. So we don't have all of those details yet, but the move is going to be retroactive, which means that automakers paying Trump's automotive tariffs won't be charged for other duties like on steel and aluminum. So suppose you're making the cars here, but you need steel and aluminum. Well, you'd have to pay those tariffs. Some of that they're going to get back, reimbursed for tariffs already paid. 25% tariff on foreign-made cars went into effect earlier this month. So there's going to be some payback and some adjustment of this and some softening of it. And he says it's because he's been able to get some concessions that he really liked from automakers. So what do you make of that? Because I know you're big into cars. And
this is, like you said, I mean, this is something that probably was going to happen. I kind of feel like that this may be part of the strategy, is that you do a broad sweeping thing to begin with, realizing that there's going to be details that are going to have to be worked out. And then when you start dealing with those details, it looks like that you're giving in some, that you are allowing the opposition to gain something, when actually all you're doing is taking back something that you've already taken away, or yeah, giving back something you've already taken away. So,
right.
So you which kept is typical Trump negotiating tactic.
Yeah, it
which
is.
And it's very smart, very smart.
They're calling it a major victory for the president's trade policy. Automakers have been in near, this is Wall Street Journal breaking this morning, been in near daily communication with the administration, secured some relief while Trump obtained commitments to further his domestic manufacturing goals. He hasn't announced all those yet, they say. And he's expected to take the actions ahead of a trip to Michigan for a rally outside Detroit. Well, that's tonight, marking the 100 days since he took off. So hopefully there'll be more good news there, too. And some of this, too, is probably a response to his polling right now, which is quite good on immigration. It's not so great on the economy, yeah, or tariffs. Fox News polls tend to be very biased for some reason. You'd think they wouldn't be, but they are.
I think they go out of their way to try to be objective, and I think maybe they lean too far the other way sometimes. Yeah. And, you know, it's...
Well, they're showing 56% disapproving on the economy, 59% approving of the tariffs, only 38% approve on the economy, and 33% approve on the tariffs. Here's the thing on that. I don't take that seriously because we haven't seen much except media rhetoric on the tariffs. We don't. Maybe they'll be terrible. Maybe they won't. Maybe it'll be a mixed bag. We don't actually know yet.
Well, I mean, these things have just this month gone into effect. And it is going to take time for those increased costs, if they are passed on to the consumer, to make their way into the economy. And honestly, I really haven't seen anything. Now, I'm not out buying cars or houses or, you know, major appliances or anything. But, you know, we're really not seeing a whole lot yet. But then, you know, it could be going. Like you said, right now, we're just simply people are reacting in these polls to their perception of what the effect will be. We haven't really seen the effect yet.
And the coverage has been
absolutely
uniformly negative. And one of the things that's getting on my nerves is they do not focus on China at all. They do not focus on those supply chains literally crumbling.
Yeah.
The Wall Street Journal did finally do a piece on it. It's all America-centric and the end is coming. It's basically there's no counterpoint. I mean, it can't all be bad.
Well, I mean, but
it's just not possible.
The thing is, these policies are having an impact on the rest of the world. I mean, you know, listen to this. The new prime minister of Canada, we had at the top of the hour. He thinks that the age of global trade is over. I mean, you know, doomsday. I mean, it's not. It is going to continue. But, of course, that's the way that the liberal progressives are going to portray this.
Right. And we'll feel that way for him because what he just saw was supply chains. And this was so great yesterday, moving from China with Apple to a country that wants to kill us and has bragged about cyber attacking us in just the last few months to India, a country that, yes, we've had issues with, but they don't, as far as I can tell, want to kill us or crash our grid.
Well, of course, and the Chinese as well have been doing business with Canadian and Mexican companies in order to circumvent the trade agreements that we have with those two countries.
That's their only gig. Nobody would make a darn thing in those stupid countries. God bless them, especially Canada, with their enviro problems. I mean, you know, in terms of how expensive energy is, just stupid. If they weren't basically assembling Chinese stuff. And when you see the Prime Minister of Canada freak out, yeah, he just watched the entire Apple supply chain and manufacturing move to India. And that's terrifying if all you do is assemble stuff for China so they can get around our trade rules and trade laws. That's all Canada does. There is no value added in Canada. There's no reason to be there. And the second the Chinese don't need them anymore because we've moved the whole thing to India because China won't stop trying to kill us, Canada's cooked. They had a scam. They should not have built their economy around it. Shame on them. And when you look at $70 billion, that's just what India just got with us moving just the Apple phone assembly out, you know, construction, whatever you want to call it. Manufacturing is a better word, out of China to India. That is a mega blow to China. And Canada's just seeing the writing on the wall. Well, you shouldn't have thrown in with people who, you know, Christopher Wray, love him or hate him, we don't like him. But as he's leaving office as the head of the FBI, says the biggest threat facing America is China attacking our grid and grinding it to a halt, shutting it down. I mean, have we forgotten?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm amazed at this because I got this post of mine going viral on X, and I'm just watching it, shaking my head. It's all these liberals. That's why they're retweeting me, and they're going viral because I said this is what I voted for about Apple ditching China and moving to India, and they're laughing at me. Ha 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 ha! The jobs aren't coming to America. That's what you voted for? Heck yeah, it is. They're trying to kill. What part of your FBI director says the biggest threat facing America is China melting down our grid? What part of that did you not understand? That we are not going to be able to make everything here.
No.
Everybody knows that. The Trump people know that. Okay? They know that. We have to crush China. We have to... The best case scenario here for avoiding war with China is to defeat the Communist Party, neuter the Communist Party. I hope to crush them economically without ever firing a shot.
Yeah.
You close half the factories, half the factories. That's what Zero Hedge is reporting. You close half the factories, they ain't going to make it. They're not. Their government is based on exports. And the only thing standing in the way, you know what I think Trump's ambition is, Lee? And I'm not forecasting that he will achieve it, right? Mm-hmm. But I think this is his ambition. I think he wants to complete what Reagan started. Nobody thought Reagan could bring down the Communist Party of Russia. Nobody thought that he could. That was unfathomable when he started. I think Trump wants to crush the CCP, the Communist Party of China, and decimate them. If you could do that without firing a shot, the world would be safe. If you could turn China into Japan, basically. Yes, an economic competitor, fine, great, we'll take it, but a democracy. Now, I know that's a really, really long shot, but I am convinced that's what Trump's trying to do. And the main thing standing in his way are the liberal financial media and the Democrat Party, who will do anything to protect China. Again, I mean, I posted this for these, liberals who are attacking me. Headline, NPR, right? One of their sources. Ray says Chinese hackers are aiming to wreak havoc on U.S. critical infrastructure. At that point, listen, including water treatment plants, pipelines, the power grid, this is NPR. Like, at what point, Lee, does the survival instinct kick in for this country and go, you know, wow, we couldn't do 2 weeks without clean water in this country and the grid being off. We can't. And then there's a question when the nuke plants would melt down. Never mind, they're inside those too. This has got to stop. It's got to. And Trump understands this. He is surrounding China and trying to choke them off. Democrats are trying to throw him a lifeline. So, we're never going to get, unless you want to pay $4,000 for an iPhone, I don't. They go send it to India. Good. We'll make stuff here too. But that's a win. It's still a win.